couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kahn.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Last week of September, guys, and we are going to have a busy show. We got a lot of things coming up.
Lots of stuff going on this week.
Before we roll into Halloween month, which is one of my favorite months for movies.
I know it is.
I watch horror movies all the time. But we're not talking horror movies this week. We're talking about Rush, which is not about the band.
It's not, no.
It's not about the talk show host. It's about Formula One racing.
Yes.
We're also going to talk about Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, Baggage Claim, Don John, and we're going to talk some news and DVDs and all that good stuff. Before we get started, if you want to reach us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can give us a shout out on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And you can reach us on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
And this is Jarvis.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Jarvis, a virtual artificial intelligence, and I'm here to assist you with a variety of tasks as best I can. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
We're going to talk about Iron Man 3, this little independent film that came out this summer.
Yeah. I think I may have seen it. I don't really remember so
You
much.
Did, but that was before you went gallivanting off
I
to
did.
Poland.
I left first thing the next morning to go on vacation. I brought my laptop so I could write my review in the plane.
That's awesome.
So that I could have it posted from Peru in time when the movie came out.
Amazing.
That is the dedication.
The unfortunate thing, this is a little bit of a spoiler, is before we talk about Iron Man 3 on Blu-ray, it does not come with an artificially intelligent Blu-ray, which would have been really cool.
That would have been cool.
It would have been really cool to have the $8,000 Blu-ray set that has a real Jarvis to it.
I would like a Jarvis. That would be nice. Yeah. I could use a Jarvis, really.
It doesn't sound like you're talking about a computer program at this point.
I could, actually.
I don't know what a Jarvis
program.
Is. It's kind of like a Jeffrey.
Yeah, yeah,
from
exactly.
From Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah. I could use one of those.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We are going to be talking a little bit about Rush. Here's a tease ahead on Ron Howard talking about the movie.
When you sit in the cockpit of a Formula One car, and you don't even have to, you know, the engine doesn't have to be running. It's this visceral, palpable sort of thing. I mean, you just feel it. There's all this power around you. There's a gas tank either in your back or under your legs. You're just so low. And you realize that it's about like squatting down on top of a rocket and, you know, hanging on.
And like a rocket, we are strapping yourself to our show.
There you go.
And let's move ahead and,
whatever.
And rocket into news.
That was a great segue.
Isn't that awesome? But also Rush has Thor in it.
Thor.
One of the Avengers.
Speaking of segues.
One of the Avengers, played by a Thor-esque version of Michael York.
Michael York.
We have some Marvel news, some Avengers news. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiered on ABC.
Yes, it did.
What'd you think?
And it was a big thing.
Huge. It was like one
huge.
Of the, I think it was the most watched new premiere of this year so far.
Yeah. Now, we were actually talking before the show about the craziness that happened out here on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we sat down because we had a screening that night. So, you know, I had the DVR and played it afterwards and sat down in the opening scene has like this explosion in L.A., and just after that explosion, the show cuts out. It goes to breaking news, and there's some news guy telling me that there's been an explosion in police headquarters in downtown Columbus.
Yeah.
And that is insane. I kept looking at my husband going, is this for real? Or is this just really brilliant marketing?
Yeah, there was that moment where you sat there and you thought, did they coordinate with all the local news? Because he's a guy on our local news.
Yeah.
It wasn't just some guy you wouldn't recognize.
It was like, wow, actually from, well played, Disney.
Exactly. Joss Whedon, you're genius. But no, it was apparently there was a real minor explosion in Columbus.
Yeah, I guess so.
And they kept breaking in. They kept having the crawl go under the... And you're just like, oh, you squeeze the screen every time.
I know. It was annoying. We actually said that, like, do we have to go online and find what we missed?
Did you like the show? Do you think it'll work?
I did.
Fit in with everything
I
else?
I think it'll be interesting. You know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and what they do after the pilot. Because, you know, the pilot, there's always a lot of reworking after it. And I think it could use a little reworking.
Everything's usually really rough at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And you have to get through, like, that first 4 to 6 episodes that they've already produced.
Yeah.
Because they're in production now.
Right.
And so then about 5 or 6 episodes in, then they start tweaking it.
Seriously, I'll keep watching it just for Clark Gregg.
He's great.
He is awesome.
Well, and what's interesting about that show is you have Clark Gregg and then Colby Smulders to a degree, even though she's not going to be in it until next year when How I Met Your Mother's completely over.
Right.
Ming-Na's in it. And they're sort of – these are people who can handle – they're veteran actors. They've been doing TV or movies for so long and they're really good. And like Clark Gregg has – Coulson down.
He's awesome.
Because everything else he plays, he's always like dads in every other movie. But in Coulson, he's like this big dude.
He's a big dude.
And then he's not. He's not physically small.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's been working out for the role or anything.
Yeah, he could kill me.
Yeah.
He could kill you with somebody else's thumbnail.
Yes.
Clipping. Yeah. But then you have the rest of the cast, which is very sort of like walked out of the audition for Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because it's just all these people that you're like, maybe you'd be okay after a couple of years.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see if it seasons enough. Because
I think the stories can be really interesting, though, where they're taking it.
It's a good setup. Mm-hmm. I think it's a sustainable premise.
Yep.
And it can dovetail into all the movies, which is very cool. And that's exactly what Marvel and Disney are trying to do.
Exactly.
So, bravo. Well played.
Yes.
Joss Whedon. Who I normally don't like.
Well, there you go.
The next piece of news, we've actually had this on the docket for a while.
And this is something that you've been so excited about. And it's funny because we've been talking about this Dumb and Dumber sequel for the longest time. And seriously, it's Dumb and Dumber. I don't know why we're so fascinated by this movie, but we are.
But they came out with, like, there's a behind-the-scenes production still. I think Jeff Daniels tweeted out of him and Jim Carrey in their outfits. And what's funny is Jeff Daniels looks exactly the same, and Jim Carrey just looks a lot older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot older. Like, scary older.
Jim Carrey's been through a lot.
Hopefully there's no guns in this movie, because then Jim Carrey won't do any sort of press for it.
Nice.
But I have to read this, because they got Laurie Halden from The Walking Dead.
Yes.
And the original Nikita TV show.
And you have your quote that you have been dying to read.
So. I said, well, they had this picture was posted. We have to cover this because this is the most insane plot.
It totally is.
And here's what it is. This is quoted from movies.yahoo.com. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. All right. Sequel finds Harry in need of a kidney transplant, forcing him and Lloyd to hit the road to find his possible illegitimate daughter, who may be a donor. So far, not ridiculous. Holden will play the girl's stepmom, who married a wealthy doctor to inherit his fortune. Kathleen Turner co-stars as the girl's biological mother, who was conceived after a sexual encounter with one of the two male leads.
I am so confused by this whole thing. This doesn't even make sense.
Well, and Kathleen Turner, I know she had some health issues and stuff, but there was this, she took like a Frank Langella turn with her. She used to be super sexy. And then suddenly she turned
into. Now she looks like Frank Langella?
Yeah, she kind of does. You saw Marley and Me. She played the dog trainer.
That's true.
And that wasn't me insulting her. I mean, her voice got deeper. I think her voice is now deeper than mine. And she's as lumpy as I am.
Nice.
But not in a good way, the way she was back when she was doing, like, Body Heat.
She sounds a little bit like I do during allergy season.
Well, you she's sort of like The Exorcist, you know. She's like, your mother's in here with us. That was not a very good. I was seriously cycling through every single Exorcist quote in my head, and I'm going, what can I say on the radio?
Is The Exorcist smoking right now because the hand gestures that you're making right now?
I have the cigarette gesture. Well, no, because it was Mercedes McCambridge who did the voice, and she had that voice from smoking all the time. I sound like Harvey Fierstein.
You totally do.
Harvey Fierstein as the Exorcist
demon. You
kind of
look like him right now, too.
He has less hair than I do.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Running off the rails already.
Oh,
Here
my
we
gosh.
Go.
One more news story real quick about, about 30 seconds.
Scorsese's latest, Wolf of Wall Street, has been delayed.
Because?
It was supposed to come out November 15th, and then they were thinking maybe Christmas, and now they have no idea when it's coming out.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be, what, like 3 hours long now?
3 hours long right now.
And an NC-17 rating.
Right.
Which I guarantee neither of those will be true when it actually is released.
They've got some work to do.
But also, this is not the first time Scorsese or DiCaprio movies have done this.
Right.
They moved Shutter Island to like February, March or something like that. And then they moved Great Gatsby this
right.
year.
Right. So it's Leo's fault.
Yep. Let's blame him. All right. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about Don John and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Because we can't go!
skirt's so sexy it hurts.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello!
Let's jump right in with the reviews. The first film we're going to be talking about is the kids' movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs Dos. In this movie, the characters from Swallow Falls must return to their hometown to stop Flint Lockwood's invention from creating monstrous food monsters.
They're monstrous monsters?
They're monstrous monsters.
Well, there's nothing worse than a monstrous monster.
I can be a monstrous monster at time.
I can see that.
I can't believe my machine created all of this.
Are those chimpanzees?
Butter.
Look, Mesquite Toast.
Perky.
Those are some tasty-looking jellyfish.
Hungry.
Taco Dial Supreme.
We have to shut down the machine before the food animals get off the island and invade the mainland. All we have to do is cross the breakfast bog, brave the food animal jungle, and scale the Big Rock Candy Mountain. Piece of cake.
You didn't get a chance to see this.
I didn't.
But you liked the first one, didn't you?
I did. I loved it.
It was so charming and cute. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about the first one was, if you go back to like the original children's book, there's not much to it.
Oh, no. Not at all.
It's just about weird, freaky food weather.
Yes.
And there's really no characters even.
No, and you can take that and go into some terrible places. Yeah. You can take that and turn it into the stupidest kids movie ever. But this is actually, it was really clever. And I love that, how smart it is.
Well, and they do that with like The Lorax.
Mm-hmm.
The Lorax is this like 20-page children's book.
Right.
And then they added all this stuff to the movie and then they made it not as good.
Yeah.
And they do that with The Polar Express, which again is a very brief, breezy children's book. And they added hot chocolate songs and elves and trains going off and wolves.
500 different Tom Hanks.
It was bizarre. Yeah. And it's not as good as the book. And I don't mean to sound like the, it's not as good as the book. I don't mean to be that guy, but.
I'm usually that guy.
You are that guy.
I am.
You're wearing a shirt that says that, basically.
I totally am right now.
Her shirt says movies, what is it? Ruining the book since 1920.
Yep.
So what I loved about the first Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was they did add a lot to it. They added a whole story and characters, but it was very cute and irreverent and
cool.
Oh,
yeah.
And this one, for the most part, they carry that through.
Good.
I mean, it is a sequel, so it is somewhat forced to get it in there, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it works.
They have food monsters in it. That can't be that bad.
And, well, there is a part, I was a little worried that it was just going to be this nonstop assault of bad food puns, like shrimpanzees.
I love puns.
And water elephants. I mean, it's... So they have these, you know, and they have a antelope. That's
nice.
So they have a lot of these puns, but they work and they're cute and they don't overdo it. It's not like Ants. Do you remember the movie Ants?
Oh yes, I do.
Where it's just like let's just take every phrase that has man in it and replace it with ants, and that's what we're going to do for the entire movie.
Or Smurfs.
Oh dear God.
Moving right along.
But this is a Sony picture, so it's way better than the Smurfs. It's very cute. It's not as good as the first one, but it is still very cute and charming, and the voice cast is good. You got Bill Hader and Anna Faris, and you've got Andy Samberg in there, and Neil Patrick Harris playing Steve the monkey. Steve!
Nice.
Yeah.
He's also in the Smurfs.
Yeah,
just
but
for
he's
the record.
Way better in this movie. He has like one word to say, and that is it.
That's good.
Not against Neil Patrick Harris. I like him. He's funny.
I do too.
But no, this is very cute and charming, and it really, really works as a kids movie, but also as an adult movie because there's stuff that will sail right over the kids' head and smack the grown-ups in the face, and they'll find it funny.
And that's what I appreciated about the first one. It was one of those things that worked on a couple of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kids can like it, and it's colorful and quirky and fun, and grown-ups can watch it and go, yeah, that was funny.
Yes. Yes, that's...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I'm totally saying Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 totally rocks.
Awesome.
Totally worth seeing. And it's probably one of the better animated films we've seen this year.
Awesome.
You know, because...
I need to see it.
There are good ones this summer, but this one's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whew. We're listening, or you're listening to...
What are we listening to?
I don't know what we're listening to. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. What do we got coming up next?
And up next is Don John. Mm-hmm. Joseph Gordon-Levitt heads to the Jersey Shore in this comedy about a porn-addicted party boy who's looking for love.
There's only a few things I really care about in life. My
body, my pad, my ride, my family, my church, my boys, my girls, my porn.
You like movies?
I don't watch too many movies. The Pretty Woman, The Pretty Man, and they drive off into the sunset. Everyone knows it's fake.
I love movies like that, you know?
Great.
But they watch it like it's real life.
Baby.
What are you doing?
I was just reading emails.
No, you weren't.
Or something like that.
What I find amazing about this movie is, well, first we got a clip here of we weren't given a chance to see this, but but here's a clip of Joseph Gordon-Levin just talking what the movie's about.
It started out, I wanted to tell a story about how people sometimes treat each other more like things than like people, and how media plays into that. So I thought a relationship between a young man who watches too much pornography and a young woman who watches too many romantic Hollywood movies would be a sort of funny way at getting at these questions.
That's not what the movie's about. This movie is about a guy from Hollywood who's going to make his own movie and be the first director. And so he casts himself as a guy who loves sex and ends up dating Scarlett Johansson.
Why not?
Why can't I have that job?
Because you weren't a young TV star as a child.
No, that's true. It's true, I was not.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, it's the second movie in 2 weeks of somebody who's having issues. I don't know if I'd call him porn addicted because it's not as, it's more about just him being this big dumb Jersey Shore guy who
right.
just really, really likes porn.
Exactly.
As opposed to sort of the addiction and recovery problems we had with
Thanks for sharing
last week.
Yes. In here, apparently the addiction is lightly.
Yeah. And here's something he has to say about porn too.
I think pornography is a perfect symbol for this kind of disconnect. A guy watching the image of a woman on a screen, she's not there. She doesn't know that he's there. There's no interaction. But that's what his sexuality has come to be.
You know, and I think I don't know much how much more to react to that, but like, yes, okay, yes, absolutely. Porn is I'm okay with it.
It's, okay.
I support it. I support education
you,
for...
You support the industry.
Yes. Yeah.
There you have it.
There you are. I don't know. This is... I do like what he said earlier about it being this... How he does draw the comparison between the male fantasy, which is porn, because guys are very visual, and female fantasy, which is just as unrealistic.
Right.
These rom-coms,
which I think that's a great idea. I think it makes for an interesting premise.
Yeah.
So I look forward to seeing it, and you know how much I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I do know it's getting great reviews, but I think part of it to really fully appreciate it, you kind of have to know some of these characters.
Yeah.
And if you've spent any time with the Jersey Shore type people,
right,
you do know these characters. So one quick other soundbite from Scarlett Johansson about her role in this film.
I don't know. I mean, I think every actor, young actor, is in some way. You know, we are objectified by the media. Certainly women are, you know. I mean, it's like we do it to each other.
This is, of course, from the woman who took naked selfies and sent them to her boyfriend, Ryan Reynolds, and then got her phone hacked and now was upset because she's being objectified on everybody's computer.
Yeah, that's sad.
I tracked down those photos.
I
for science!
Research.
For science.
Yes.
Anyways, I think we should go to a break.
Let's
stop talking
do that.
About porn.
Thank
and
you.
And we'll talk about Baggage Claim and Rush.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Open Gangnam Style.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer, Kramer, and Kevin Carr. Let's race through more reviews.
Let's do that, shall we?
See what I did there?
I do see what you did there.
We're racing.
It's very clever. You should write kids' movies.
Strapping on a rocket. Here we go. We're going to be talking about Rush. Ron Howard directs this film about Formula One racing and the 70s feud between Jim Hunt and Niki Lauda.
There's a lie that all drivers tell themselves. Death is something that happens to other people. And that's how you find the courage to get in the car in the first place.
Who's
who's that?
It's Niki Lauda. He's just been signed by Ferrari.
The showdown between you and Niki is all anyone wants to see.
Why don't they make it safer?
The risk of death turns people on.
You know, I grew up around cars.
Okay.
So for me...
So did I, because my name was Car.
Right. So this was kind of exciting for me. I love racing. I love cars. Mm-hmm. This is not a thrilling movie.
No, I mean, it's not... It's
this
not
is not a Fast and Furious movie.
No.
Really. And I actually did some reading about this, mm-hmm. about how Peter Morgan, who also did Frost Nixon,
mm-hmm.
he wrote the script and he did it completely on spec.
It feels very much like Frost Nixon. I compared that to it.
I loved Frost Nixon, though.
Okay.
And I thought that was actually really tense and really suspenseful. Mm. And this, I didn't feel that so much.
Okay.
But I read that he did the whole thing on spec, so he didn't know who was going to make the movie, so he didn't put so much racing in it.
Oh, okay.
And that's why there isn't as much racing action, which I can understand if you're doing it on spec. But once Ron Howard picks up your movie, put in the racing scenes.
Sure.
And there aren't that many. And I was really surprised that I didn't feel as much of the energy as I was hoping to.
Well, it has some key moments.
There are a few.
Yeah.
But I'd say most of this movie really focuses more on the characters and their business and their wives. I'm like, come on. I don't really care about your marriage.
Who
Talk
cares
about
these women in this movie?
Did you care about the women in this movie?
I cared looking at Olivia
Except
Wilde.
When they were naked?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Duh. And when I was naked. That was an awkward time in the movie theater for me.
It was. And you were right in the front row, too.
Time
it was
to
terrible.
Get naked.
Nobody needed to see that.
Well, it is a bit... It's a bit interesting of a movie because of how they're promoting it. Because Chris Hemsworth is so huge now. He's in the Thor sequel coming up. He's in Avengers. It's nothing but his face on the poster.
And the funny thing is, it's supposed to be the other guy's story.
It's not. It's totally, yeah, it's totally yeah. Niki Lauda's
and
story.
And he's the one who narrates it, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be his story. But James Hunt is a way more captivating character.
And he's way better looking.
Yes. And he's a lot more fun, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's the way it's kind of supposed to be, but...
And there's
you know,
a whole section in the middle where he kind of disappears.
He does,
not
yeah.
in it at all.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. So, yeah. I think it does pick up toward the end, mm-hmm. when they finally get to the real rivalry of it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of slow going before that.
I compare it to Frost Nixon because, for me, Frost Nixon was a very well-made movie about something that I kind of feel is irrelevant to anything in history. And the reason for Frost Nixon is because that was pretty much the people who hated Nixon were like, oh, he's sticking it to him. And the people that liked Nixon was like, who's this, you know, froofy guy from Britain interviewing him? And it really had no impact on anything lasting aside from just whatever you brought to the movie or the event first. And that's kind of how I felt with this one, where I'm like, I don't care about racing at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't follow NASCAR, IndyCar.
Well, yeah, and this
no
is,
one in America follows.
This
Formula
is
one.
A country full of NASCAR fans.
Yeah,
it's a tough sell.
Yes, and you're right. There's not much racing in it, but I think it would have cheapened the movie if suddenly they were just like, let's have tons and tons of racing. It would have turned into Speed Racer.
I think there could have been a balance, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. It's a character study. It's not a racing movie. It's
mm-hmm.
and for what it is, for somebody from like me who's not interested in it,
uh-huh.
I thought it was well done and it kept my attention for that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a decent movie.
I would have liked more of the two racers.
Mm-hmm.
Because the times when they're actually in the same area having some kind of heated discussion, those are the most exciting moments in the movie.
There's like two seasons.
And there are none of them. Yeah.
But it does feel like they didn't know... Once they got Chris Hemsworth, and they're like, let's make it as much about him. So I think there's a bit of a – you can feel the tension between how they want to market it and how they wanted to make it. And
yep.
So it does feel like it's overworked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a decent movie. I just don't think it's going to catch on in America.
No, no.
It'll do huge business in Europe.
Sure.
Yeah. Just like David Hasselhoff.
Right. So your final grade on this one?
It kind of rocks.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks, too, but yeah, just barely.
Yeah, just barely. Just way going, Ron Howard. It's way better than his last movie about cars, The Dilemma.
Nice. That's true.
Because that had a car.
It is much better than his last movie about cars.
Wow, that movie was awful.
It was terrible.
What happened there? Mm. Ron Howard, you completely missinged yourself again.
Oh, Opie.
Because that was a bad movie. Mm. All right, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Christian Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. What's coming up next?
This is an exciting one.
Baggage Claim.
Yes.
Paula Patton stars as a flight attendant who tracks down her old boyfriends to find a suitable husband.
I can't go to my little sister's wedding single.
If you need a man, honey, I can get you one of those.
It's not a man I need. It's a husband or a potential husband in a month.
Look, it's not like she's got enough time to meet somebody new, so why not revisit somebody else? For the next few weeks, any of your exes that flies anywhere at any time, we're gonna know.
That's right. There's Tanya in ticketing.
Calvin at curbside check-in.
And there's Cedric in security.
Take everything out your pockets. I need your pockets out your pockets.
You got 30 days and 30,000 miles.
All right, we sat together during this one, so it's pretty clear what we both thought of it. You tell me first. What do you think?
We actually had a lot of fun watching this movie because it was so painfully bad.
Yeah.
So that made it a lot more entertaining for us.
Yes.
Because we could sit in the back and heckle. I always enjoy heckling a bad movie.
Yeah.
That's actually why I sat next to you, because I knew what we were in for.
I so wanted Nick Harum to be in there with us, because he
I know, I'm so sad that he missed it.
This.
Oh, yes.
But you know what's funny is, well, it starts with not this movie. Paula Patton is a beautiful woman.
Yes, she is.
But, man, she cannot act.
Oh, she's terrible.
Oh, just so much overacting.
And this is one of those movies that you need somebody who can really pull it off. Because the entire premise is completely insane.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even if you were living in the 50s,
yeah,
the premise of this movie is completely insane.
You know, you're right. It does kind of feel like it has that premise from one of those screwball comedies, the Doris Day, Rock Hudson screwball comedies from the 60s.
You need somebody who's charming and naturally funny to pull something like this off. And she is not. She is awkward and irritating.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's terrible.
Anna Faris was in this movie called What's Your Number?
Right, right.
Like a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm. Which wasn't that bad. You know, it was the same kind of idea.
Same kind. A little more raunchy.
Yeah.
But she was going back to her old boyfriends. But she's charming and she's very cute.
She can pull it off.
Not
Paula Patton. Paula Patton cannot.
And it has like, there's more shots of Paula Patton running through airports in this movie.
This is just one giant montage after another.
And what's funny is they start reusing the shots.
Oh, yeah.
I even pointed that one out too, because there was this little Asian guy in the background walking,
nice.
And I'm like, this looks, wait, that's the same guy from that first shot. And it's just like, they're like, we need to hit the 90 minute running time. More shots of Paula Patton running, and she's not in a bikini running. I mean, that would have made me more interested in this movie.
You just didn't care.
I didn't care at all. But the best part of the movie, though, because first of all, this is primarily an African American cast,
mm-hmm.
and Adam Brody is the token white guy.
Yes, he is. The token gay white guy.
He's our best friend, of course. Romantic comedy, gay best friend.
Right.
I love token white guys in African-American comedies, because
he actually gets the best lines in this whole movie.
He does have some really good lines.
Pretty much that's it.
Because that's the thing. It's like in a suckage level, and then every now and then there's this blip of a funny line that actually made me laugh. But yeah, Adam Brody, what's so neat about it, I think more white people need to watch movies like this, because you can feel what it's like to be the completely disposable, marginalized token character. And it's fun to watch, because mm-hmm. you're like, wow, Adam Brody represents the entirety of white people in this. Because and everybody else, it was like the Cosby Show. Remember the Cosby Show? Everybody was black, mm-hmm. except for like the one friend at school.
Right.
And that's what this was like.
Yes.
Yeah, she had one old boyfriend who was white, and he like all he did was like he couldn't use chopsticks.
Yes, there was one who was rejected because he couldn't use chopsticks.
That's the level of quality.
Yeah,
he like shushed her when he was on his phone or something like that, and that was it.
Yeah,
such a terrible movie.
Seriously, romantic comedies, they can be a little bit cheesy and a little bit old fashioned, but they can still be cute.
Yeah.
This is not cute.
Nope.
It is not funny. It hurts.
Goes on way too long. Final grade.
Sucks.
It sucks. When we come back, we're going to talk box office and DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We have had a lot of... That was really interesting.
I'm judging you, apparently.
Seriously. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. It has been a crazy week for movies again. You know, it's one of those things, feast or famine.
I know.
We either have, like, one movie to talk about, or we have, like, 12.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun to talk about it because it's rapid fire.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're strapping on a rocket.
Nice. Okay, Ron Howard, moving right along.
There we are. Let's talk about box office now. Let's talk about what happened last week.
Yeah.
And whether we were correct.
It was kind of a mediocre week.
Well, you know what's funny is I was right with the movie because I said Prisoners.
Yep.
But you were closer with the money.
I was.
Because you said $23 million for Insidious 2.
Mm-hmm.
I said $30 million for Prisoners. Prisoners came in with $21
million. The box office kind of took a dive last weekend.
It's Ooh, September. Peters. And it was headlining with a morose child kidnapping movie.
Yeah.
So.
That's why I didn't pick it. People don't want to see that movie.
They did. I mean,
apparently, a few did.
Some did. I mean, it was within the projections of what was it Warner Brothers? What Warner Brothers was expecting from this?
Yeah.
So yeah, $21 million. That's fine for Prisoners. I think it's going to tumble in the next couple of weeks because there's a lot of stuff opening.
Yes, tons of stuff and
some
good
really,
stuff.
Really good. October is going to be one heck of a month. People.
Yes.
Mark my words. Insidious Chapter 2 came in with $14 million. Which isn't bad. That's a big tumble from the previous.
It is,
weekend.
Yeah.
But that's typical of a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's just not typical of The Conjuring, which was James Wan's other film.
Right.
That did extremely well. And that's
it. Did it did amazingly well.
That's the danger of releasing one right after this. Everyone's like, this one should do as well as The Conjuring, and I'm like, that's a sequel.
I know. It's 2 months apart. It's crazy. That's why I didn't expect it to do as well as it did in its first week.
But... Yeah, it did extremely well that first week. But that's where most horror movies, with the exception of something like The Conjuring, makes the lion's share of their money that first weekend.
Yep.
All right, then it goes down to the family. And Instructions not included, actually.
Still number four.
It did better this week than last week.
It's incredible.
$34 million for this movie. That's insane.
I am very impressed.
Good job, guy I don't know his name who's in the movie. Then we're going to, Battle of the Year, Battle of the Year.
Battle of the Year.
$4.6 million.
Where is it? I can't even
Holy cow.
It. There it is.
Wow. Battle of the Year. Chris Brown, you just knocked yourself
Took
out.
A beating.
There you go. Thanks for sharing, which we talked about. Came in 19th, which $540,000. Not terribly well.
No, not so much.
Enough
but
said.
Speaking of bad.
Got $233,000 at...
Which it was
place.
A really small limited release for last week.
It
so
was pretty small.
It expands more this week.
Yes. And then Rush, which opens wide this week, it was in like four theaters
or
something.
Yeah, four
or like
five,
that.
Yep.
And it made $187,000, which is a per screen average of $37,000. So don't let that $187,000 number fool you.
Mm-hmm.
It did extremely well in very limited release. And then the one I really want to point out is I Spit on Your Grave 2. I didn't even know they were making a sequel to this.
I think I heard of it, last week when we were working on things.
It came in at 122nd in the box office,
mm-hmm.
and it made $441.
It could have been worse.
On one screen. it could have been worse. Basically, that means about 50 people saw it in one theater in Los Angeles.
Well, nobody else knew it was coming out either.
I know. Yeah, it's just,
I think I got a press release for it because I get a press release for everything.
For everything.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this movie.
No.
But that's hilarious, I think. Anyways, what do you think is going to win this week?
I'm going to give it to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, too.
So am I.
Mm-hmm.
What's your number?
I'm going to go with 43.
Wow!
I was looking at the numbers of things that opened last September. Hotel Transylvania did 42 in opening weekend.
Okay.
So... there you go.
I said 30, and the reason I said 30 is just I'm just lowballing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm writing mine down as
30. I could be way over, and I don't care. I like this movie, and I would like it to make $43 million.
Yeah, I don't think Rush is going to do terribly well. Once it goes wide, I don't think it's going to do fine.
Yeah, but it's not the kind of movie, like we said, it's not a NASCAR movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a Fast and Furious movie.
I think it's good for like $20 million
Vin
or so.
Vin Diesel is not in this movie.
I don't think Vin Diesel would fit in a Formula One car. He's a big dude.
He is a big guy, yes.
I'd like to see myself try
I don't think you would fit in a Formula One car.
Yet. I would be like a muffin. You'd stuff me in and there'd be this big bulge popping out of the hood.
I would like to see that.
I would be my own helmet.
We'll work on that. Anyone who owns a Formula One car, give us a call.
Give us a call, yeah. Let me try and cram my big fat body into your, $300,000 car. Just bring it over, and then I'll drive it.
Yeah. That sounds like
what
fun.
What could possibly go wrong?
I can't imagine.
All right. Let's move on. We're going to talk about the next thing in our segment we like to refer to as the world-famous...
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
Oh, yeah, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
You might be. Or maybe you're just doing something else while we're on in the background.
That's true. Brushing your teeth.
Hello
maybe
to you.
Maybe you're Don John on the internet.
Well.
Who knows? The first movie is this tiny little independent film that came out this summer.
You may have heard of it.
You may have heard of it on the show already.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
This is the biggest movie of the year so far.
It is, yes. It's huge.
I don't think anything's going to beat it.
I can't imagine, no.
I don't think there's anything coming out.
It was
out.
Huge.
I mean, aside from when Avatar came out in December, usually the December movies don't trump the...
No.
The summer movies in terms of box office. But yeah, huge movie. Blu-ray, DVD, 3D Blu-ray. It's fun. It's not as loaded with special features as I would have liked.
No, yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. But they are fun special features.
They are some good special features.
I did really enjoy them.
Yeah. And the commentary is actually really good. I did a breakdown of the commentary on Film School Rejects.
Mm-hmm.
Got some interesting insight into the film. I love the fact that they talked about... sort of the real meaning of who the Mandarin was and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give too much away if you haven't seen it.
No.
Especially if you're a fan of the comic books.
Ugh.
So, of course, who hasn't seen this movie?
Ben Kingsley totally makes this movie.
I am nominating him.
Makes this movie.
I'm nominating him for every single thing I can this year because he's great.
He is. He's amazing.
There's also, we have a little soundbite from one of the special features about the famous Air Force One skydive.
And your first approach is, let's do it on the green screen stage. We can hang the actors. We have a lot of control. But our second unit director came on board and said, I know the Red Bull skydiving team. Let's do a test.
I don't believe a lot of people thought it could be done practically. And I'm like, I know we can do this for real. I actually got a bunch of the skydivers that we're using. And we went out to the airport and spent 2 days jumping and doing some of the harder various bits of the sequence.
It was so successful that we said, let's shoot it this way.
8 days to shoot it, we ended up making 62 airplane loads, over 600 parachute jumps, 480 some hidden parachute jumps, which is by far bigger than any kind of a sequence like that's ever been done before.
So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was in the special features that you could watch it, and it was kind of cool to watch how they did that.
And I love, my favorite part about it is they talk about how we don't have real people falling, we don't want to use CGI, and everything else is replaced with CGI, except for the person falling.
Yeah.
They literally could have shot it in front of, what they should have done is they should have had a blue screen they skydived with, and then just put people in there and just get the wind in their hair. So anyways, yeah, Iron Man 3 is a great movie. I really enjoyed it. There's VHS 2.
Yes.
Which I know you're not a big fan of these movies. You just don't, you're not interested in them.
I would see it.
Yeah?
If it were easy for me to see it, I would see it.
It might come as a screener this year because it's Magnolia.
And I might watch it then.
The neat thing about the release, though, you can get the blue, it comes with, you know, normally they go Blu-ray and DVD.
Right.
This one has the movie on Blu-ray, DVD, and VHS.
Nice.
Which is really awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So you have a paperweight.
Right.
You know.
It looks really neat, and your kids will look at it and go, what's that thing?
What's that thing? That thing looks like this bizarre.
Hmm.
Was that a flash drive? Yes, that's our original flash drive. Then there's Room 237, which is a fascinating film.
Have you seen it?
Have you?
No, I haven't. I really want to.
You should. It's on Netflix. If you've got a Netflix account, you can watch it. What it is it's a bunch of theories from people about what Stanley Kubrick's The Shining is really about.
Yes.
And it goes from very obvious ones like the plight of the American Indians because this hotel's built on an ancient Indian burial ground and there's ghosts and everything, all the way to it being an admission by Stanley Kubrick that he faked the moon landing for NASA.
Awesome.
I mean, it goes off the rails.
I need to see that one.
It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that like people, you watch this and you're like, these people are insanely into The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes me, even though a lot of this stuff's hogwash, it makes me want to rewatch The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
And I will appreciate that this year. And this month, because it's Halloween month and coming up. And Halloween 35th Anniversary Edition is out. So that's cool. Then a whole bunch of TV. You got Family Guy Volume 11, American Dad Season 8, Two and a Half Men Season 10, Modern Family Season 4. Doctor Who, you finally get the full 7th season,
nice.
Which they've been teasing that for a while. And South Park Season 16, Hawaii 5-0 Season 3, and then Hannibal Season 1. Do you watch Hannibal at all?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah?
It's really good.
Oh, so. I might have to check it out.
It's worth checking out. So we got to wrap up. The Stinker of the Week. is I Spit on Your Grave 2, which made $441 in theaters last weekend. If you're not one of the 50 people who bought it, who bought a ticket for that, you can go see it on DVD.
There you go.
Anyways, we got to go. We will do it next week. We're going to talk about Gravity, Runner Runner, and Dario Argento's Dracula.
Mm-hmm. See ya.